Welcome to the Guiding Light. This is the Guiding Light still, however, we're switching gears today because what I have been doing in the Guiding Light is sharing from the book of John in the Bible, and we finished that last week. When we finished the book of John, we were looking at the fact that there are people here to help us. People here to help us awaken. And that when we hear that wisdom, it's really a good idea for us to listen, for us to genuinely pay attention. And today we're going to start something new. Today we're going to start looking at NTI, not the Bible. We're going to NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. And we're going to NTI 1 Corinthians. And if you happen to have NTI and you want to read along with me as I read, we will begin on page 287. And the reason that we are going to 1 Corinthians is, well, the main reason is that's my guidance. That's why. But I think I know why it's my guidance, as you all probably know by now. In October of this year at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat, I received a new spiritual aspiration. And that spiritual aspiration is forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing else. It was funny because just now in that pause when I said forget everything, what I heard in that pause was come to your God with holy open hands. Which is really what you're doing when you forget everything and you're being the spontaneous moment and nothing else. You are completely vulnerable, and I know some people perceive vulnerable as a bad word, but it is not a bad word. In fact, I think that this vulnerable is the equivalent of the meek. The meek shall inherit the earth, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. Of course, some people also perceive meek as a bad word. We were listening to Gina Lake. I believe that was from, Dolores is asking what we were listening to before I started speaking. And that was Gina Lake. And I believe it was, In the World, But Not Of It. Is that correct, Ken? You can type in the room. I think that was the book. Yeah. It was very good, wasn't it, Dolores? We love Gina Lake. We love Gina Lake. And in fact, let me just tell you that Gina Lake is going to be one of our retreat leaders at the Awakening Together Fall Retreat this coming October. And I'll save the rest of the news for Sunday night. There's more news, but Sunday night we have a quarterly member meeting, so I'll save some of it as a surprise. So I'll talk all about that and some other things on Sunday night. But to return to being vulnerable, or the meek that shall inherit the earth, if you choose to forget everything, I see celebrations already happening about Gina Lake. Yeah, and I just got an email a little bit ago. One of our members wanted to know how to donate to Gina Lake. So, so I think we're falling in love with Gina Lake. But back to being the spontaneous moment and nothing else, which I think is being almost demonstrated here as I'm interacting with you all. But being the spontaneous moment and nothing else, what that really, 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 really means is that you lay down everything that you think to be true or false, everything that you think is good or bad, every idea you've had about yourself or anyone else, or God, or the world, everything you've ever learned. That's what forget everything means. And the reason that is what we could call vulnerable, it's vulnerable in the ego's perception, because that is also then laying down all defenses. To the ego, all of those things are defenses. My beliefs about what I think are true and false, my beliefs about what I think are right and wrong, they're defenses. They somehow protect that me that is the ego. They protect me. Who am I without what I think is right and wrong? Who am I without what I think is true or false? Who am I without any ideas about who I am, or any ideas about who you are, or any ideas about God or the world? I'm nobody. My name is nobody. And that terrifies the ego. Although it's not at all painful, it terrifies the ego. I don't know why the ego wants to be somebody. I don't know what it thinks it gets. It doesn't actually get anything. I guess a sense of existence, but even that sense of existence is not true. Where it gets its kicks is in our highs and lows. Where it gets its kicks is being completely caught up in me. It's sad, actually. Lately, a friend of mine has been using the word pathetic a couple of times. I don't know if he's here. His name's here twice. He's got a little red dot next to it, a little red badge, which I see as a little red heart, per his suggestion. He suggested it be a little red heart, so that's what I see, a little red heart. And he's used the word pathetic a couple of times recently, and it's caught my attention. The ego is pathetic. It's sad. It's a loss. It's a loss of genuine joy. And so when we become vulnerable from the ego's point of view, because we let go of all of those defenses about who I am and about what is right and what is true and everything else, what really happens is that we come back into our own. We come back into our genuine self. And what's inherent in our genuine self is joy and love and peace. And happiness. And why did I list joy and happiness differently? I'll tell you how they came to me. Joy in this case, I'm not saying write this down, this is the final definition of joy. But when I used the word joy, what I was referring to is just that inherent inner happiness. Joy. Inherent inner happiness. And there was no outward focus at all. It was completely an inward focus. And when I used the word happiness, that was more like happy with everything and everyone, happy with this experience of the world. So the happiness had an outward focus. That's the way the words were just now used. So joy and happiness. This is what's natural for us. Absolutely and perfectly natural, and it takes no effort at all. What does take effort is holding up those ego defenses of who I am, of who you are, of what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong, what should be, what should not be, what I need, what I don't want. You know, the grasping and the pushing away. That's what takes effort. To just be without any of that is like floating. I've been floating lately. It's rather amazing to me because not that long ago, it seemed like I had so many things to do. And I suppose I still have just as many things to do. I don't think anything has changed. The difference is that I am so here right now, and only here right now, that those other things that are going to eventually be done, I'm sure, are not weighing on me now. And in that way, they don't exist. And so they're no burden. Of course, as I mentioned the other night, I have to be a little bit prepared to look like a fool as well, because I'm literally not carrying as many things around with me. And so there are a large number of questions that people could ask me, and I will not have the answer where once upon a time I might have, because I was carrying things with me. Even as released as I was before, which was very released compared to how I started, right, comparatively, I was very released already. But I still was carrying some stuff with me. And now I'm really not, which means I'm probably going to become a lot more dependent on paper or something. I don't know exactly how I'm going to deal with this yet. I suppose we'll find out. I haven't been thinking about it, therefore I haven't got it figured out. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. It's only been a short time. But I'm going to say there's a high and forget everything. A high. You know, like some of you smoke pot in order to get high. You just have to forget everything. And that makes me think of John Denver, because, you know, he talks about the Rocky Mountain High. And actually, I was going to play one of John Denver's songs anyway. Maybe I'll play two. Maybe we'll start with Rocky Mountain High, and then we'll switch to Sweet Surrender. And then after we listen to those two songs, we will begin our reading of NTI 1 Corinthians, which is all about being the empty shell. Forget everything. Be the spontaneous moment and nothing else. A Course in Miracles workbook lesson 189, paragraph 7, which has always been my favorite. So let's let John take us there, shall we? He's so cute, by the way. I'm looking at a picture of him, and he's so cute. Okay, John, it's all yours.
Home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday. I don't know where I'm going, I'm not sure where guides me, a light that shines for me. My life is worth living, I don't need to see the end. Sweet, sweet surrender.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful song. Sorry y'all didn't get to hear every word of it because it was really fantastic. This was one of those times where in my perception I had the mic. It looked like the mic was there, and then the next thing I knew I heard Cheryl's voice. So so we'll see what happens. Hopefully the mic will stay with me for the next 34 minutes and we can begin this new episode of The Guiding Light. NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1 on page 287. So shall we begin? Are you ready? Let's go. All right, so here we go. Verses 1 to 3. You who are reading this now, has been called into my service. This is why you continue to read. Now I will teach you in order to help you in your acceptance of your role as my holy servant. So I find that first paragraph to be kind of interesting just because we ended the guiding light from the book of John with the awareness that there are servants here. Servants who are to help us awaken. And now we begin NTI 1 Corinthians saying, I'm going to tell you how to be that servant. And not only that, NTI 1 Corinthians actually doesn't say, some of you reading this are servants and some of you, this is just FYI. Actually, NTI says, you who are reading this now have been called into my service. So what that says to me is whoever's eyes make it to this page, it's speaking to you. So what's going to happen now as we go through NTI 1 Corinthians is we are going to be taught how to be that servant. And I promise you that we are not the servant of the benevolent universe through our thinking mind. We are not the servant of the benevolent universe through our biases, through what we think are right and wrong, what we think are good and bad, what we think should be or should not be. All of that has to go. The only way that we can be this servant that we are clearly being invited to be is to practice A Course in Miracles workbook lesson 189, paragraph 7, in each and every moment. And every one of us is perfectly capable of doing that, although we may have to remember how to forget everything. We have forgotten how to live the simple life. We've taken on the hard life as if it's the only way we can survive. All the stuff we got to know, all the stuff we got to think about, all the stuff we got to figure out, all the stuff we got to control, all the stuff we got to manipulate. And this is the opposite of that. That's why this is called vulnerable. That's why this is called empty. And that's also why this is called meek. It doesn't have any of those defenses. So before we begin this portion of the guiding light where we go into NTI 1 Corinthians, I suppose one thing that we can just each do silently within ourselves is just kind of ask, am I willing to forget everything? And be honest. What may come is, no. No, I am willing to forget some things. But I still need to protect myself in this way. I still need to think about this. I still need to handle this. I still need to manage this. I still need to control this. I still need this to be this way. And maybe, you know, if you guys want to like do an assignment that might be helpful to you, then maybe what you could do is find out what those things are that you don't think you can let go of yet and just write them down. That's all. That's all. Just write them down. Because all you want to do is bring them into awareness. Because right now you already think that, but it's kind of hidden to you. So you just want to bring it out. So this is why you have to be honest. You don't want to be all, you know, fake, all spiritually fake and say, oh, yeah, I can forget everything when it's a lie. Because it's never, ever, 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 ever helpful to lie to yourself. Ever. much better to be genuine. Your true self is genuine, and the ego is the liar. So when you're lying to yourself, even to make yourself, you know, appear more spiritual, when you're lying to yourself, you're actually in ego. When you're being genuine, even when you're listing all of the things that you're not ready to let go of yet, all of the things you still need to control, all the things you still need to manage, you know, all the things you still need a certain way, and you're making this list, but you're being genuine, you're in your right mind. You're in your right mind. And then as you bring that stuff into awareness, those things that you can't let go of, those things that you must control, or at least you think you must. When you bring that stuff into awareness, that's actually the beginning of the end of those things. And you don't have to make those things end. You only have to be aware of them. And what will begin to happen is there will be something that you think you have to control today. And you bring it into awareness and it still feels very, very strong that you have to control it. And that's okay. But what will probably happen is you'll start noticing yourself controlling, and there'll start to be a dissatisfaction with your controlling. You'll start to notice the dissatisfaction. You'll start to notice how hard it is. You'll start to notice how constricted you are, how hard you feel. You'll start to notice any pain that's in it. You'll start noticing what you didn't notice before, which was that it's a burden. Before, it seemed like your salvation. It seemed like I have to control this in order to protect myself or my family or whatever. I have to control this in order to protect. It was your salvation. But once you bring it into awareness, you're going to start seeing it's actually a burden. And as you start paying attention to that, you'll begin to lose interest. And this may happen gradually over a few years, and that's okay. But you'll start to lose interest. You're going to start losing interest in the burden. And then you'll start finding yourself one day, you know, something will happen, and the usual thing would be to control this because this was a part of it. And you're going to be like, I just don't have the energy. I can't work that hard anymore. And that is when you're only an inch away from being free. I crossed that threshold about a week ago. Something came up and I was just like, I just don't have the energy. And something disappeared in that moment. So you who are reading this now have been called into my service. This is why you continue to read. Now I will teach you in order to help you in your acceptance of your role as my holy servant. Verses 4 to 9. I am grateful for you and your willingness. Already your helpfulness to healing has been more than you imagine. And yet, you are just beginning this path with me. There is so much more to do, so many more wonders for you to see and accept. You are truly a glorious gift unto yourself. I thank you for your undying willingness to heal. Some people, when they read this paragraph, when it says things like, your helpfulness to healing has been more than you imagine, they might go back in their mind and try and think, oh, what good things have I done? what good things have I done that could have been helpful, you know? But actually, the very last sentence of this paragraph reveals what it means by this. When the last sentence of the paragraph says, you are a truly glorious gift unto yourself, I thank you for your undying willingness to heal. Your willingness to heal is how you have already been more helpful than you imagine. And you see that too, don't you? You see that, you know, the thought that that's what made me helpful to healing, that may not have crossed many people's mind. I thought it was when I did this or did that or, you know, said this or that's when I thought I was helpful, all that doing. But just my willingness to heal, my willingness has been more helpful to healing the totality than I imagine. Well, that's a true statement. Most of us don't get the power of our willingness. It's our willingness, that power is God. NTI Galatians talks about this. That is God in us. I sometimes imagine it as like the finger of God, and it's plugged into the heart of the human, like the human is plugged into the totality through this finger of God that's plugged into the heart. But then for, you know, most humans, there's just so much ego all around the rest of the body, the mind, everywhere else. There's so much ego that the little plug in to God isn't noticed. But somewhere, somehow, for each every one of us, it's like there's this little that kind of blows away the dust or the dirt that's kind of settled on the finger, and we begin to feel this willingness to heal. And all we're doing is we're connecting into, for now I'm going to call it our connection to God. And that's not exactly wholly true, but that's how it feels, right, in the beginning. We uncover our connection to God, and we experience that as willingness to heal. We might even experience it as willingness to be better, because in our own judgment, we're not good enough, right? So we might experience it as willingness to be better, willingness to heal, willingness to see differently, something like that. And that willingness itself is a blessing on the world, on the totality. And NTI Luke talks all about this, about what a blessing. In fact, let me just turn back to NTI Luke real quick. See if I can find it. If I can't find it, I'll let go of it. Oh yeah, here it is. Okay, here we go. This is in NTI Luke chapter 2. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. We see through the story of Jesus' consecration at the temple, that this symbol of willingness, the baby Jesus is a symbol of willingness in NTI Luke. We see through the story of Jesus' consecration at the temple that this symbol of willingness has been blessed by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this sentence. This tiny willingness, only newly born and without achievement of any kind, is received by the Holy Spirit as a wonderful gift, and it is received with eternal gratitude. So it is with your willingness. No matter how humble that willingness may seem to you, it is the willingness the Holy Spirit has waited for, and it is this willingness for which the Holy Spirit sings praises unto you. So you see, just even uncovering that willingness, even if we haven't accomplished anything through willingness yet, not a single false belief has been healed, not a single attachment has been released, not a single idea about who I am has been undone, right? Like nothing's happened yet. You know, we are like a little newborn baby. Nothing, we haven't done anything. The Holy Spirit still sees just that willingness itself as this incredible gift to the entire universe. So already your helpfulness to healing has been more than you imagine. And yet, you are just beginning this path with me. So we still need to pull up our chairs, sit down like students, and listen, right? We still have a ways to go, and that's okay too. Nothing wrong with that. Carrie, I am beginning NTI 1 Corinthians, page 287. So let's go to the next paragraph, verses 10 to 17. You may seem to be led into relationships with me, where one may seem to have a leadership role and one may seem to be a follower. Do not be confused by what you see in form. Each one who walks with me walks with me, doing easily as I ask. One day he may seem to lead, and one day he may seem to follow. With some, he may appear to be leader. With others, he may appear to follow. But all appearances, regardless of what they may be, are within the realm of perception. The realm of perception is the realm of change. So cast not your eyes upon the realm of perception, judging what seems to be the circumstance and form. Remember that my servant is one who walks with me, and so he is one who walks with you also. With is italicized, which really means side by side. Side by side and holding hands. Although we may look like one of us is in front and one of us is behind, in truth we are side by side. And you, as one who has accepted himself into my holy service, walks with your brother too. So if there's anything to me that's interesting about this paragraph, it is the fact that it does say there's a perception of teaching and a perception of following or listening or being the student. It also says these roles may shift and change, right? Someone may be in one circumstance the teacher and in another circumstance the student. But in truth, we're all walking side by side. We're all helping each other to awaken. And this fits very much with how we ended last week when we were closing the book of John. Because what we saw again was that there are helpers who are here to help us awaken. But these helpers may stand at the threshold and help us cross over the threshold, right? So in a way, it almost seems like we might pass some of them up. And in fact, let me tell you, cooperative union. That's a great word, cooperative union. And in fact, let me tell you about a vision I had once. I think I may have told you guys this story before, but I don't remember, and it fits here too. So let me just tell it again. In my first year, with A Course in Miracles, I think you know I had many visions. And in one of these visions, I was in Plato's cave with thousands of other people, and we were all, we thought, chained to the floor. Our legs were chained to the floor, our arms were chained to the floor, so that we were bent over and looking down and incapable of looking up. Only in the vision, what was happening, it was for some reason, I don't know why, it didn't say why in the vision, but for some reason I was beginning to look around. Even though for hundreds of years I'd been looking down, I was beginning to look around. I don't know what made me think I could lift my head all of a sudden, but something did. And what I noticed when I began to look around is that there were actually no chains. There had never been chains. That was amazing to me, that everybody believed they were chained to the floor and nobody was chained. And what I also noticed is that there were these people, I'll call them teachers, who were standing up and helping us. Maybe one of them had tapped me on the shoulder. Maybe that's why I started looking around. Helping us to see that we weren't chained, helping us up, helping us over to the bottom of the staircase. We needed help just to get to the bottom of the staircase. And then there were teachers on each step on that staircase that were helping us up the stairs. One would take us, put us on the first step. Another one would take us to the second step, another one to the third step. And then at the very, very top, there was this circle of light, which really was going out of the cave. From inside the cave, it just looked like this circle of light. And there were a couple teachers up there saying, come on, you guys, you know, you can just come on out. And they would be the ones that would help us from the last step out of the hole completely, out of the cave completely. And what's interesting in that vision is that in order to get from the point where you think you're chained to the floor outside of the cave, in order to get from the floor to the outside, you literally had to pass many teachers. You had to pass them. Because they had, each one of them had a job. They had a job to get you from this point to this point. One had the job of helping you just get up on your feet. Another one had a job of maybe helping you halfway to the staircase. Another one had the job of helping you the rest of the way to the staircase. Then another teacher had the job of helping you up onto that first step. And then she handed you off to another teacher, which helped you the second step. And these teachers were positioned along the way to help us all the way, all the way. We had to help every bit of the way from thinking that we're chained to the floor to being free outside the cave. And so again, you know, we forget, we look at teachers that we think are ahead of us, and we sometimes think things like they have something I don't have, right? And we forget this broader view that we're all working together for this, what I'm going to call this next cycle in our evolution, because I think it's actually very natural, for this next cycle in our evolution, which is what I'll call for now awakening. We're all working together in this next cycle of our evolution to awakening. So although there appears to be leaders and followers, and sometimes we pass up our teachers like, hey, I used to really love that teacher, but now, boy, she's way behind me. That's because she helped you up the staircase, right? This is all just working together. It's one cooperative union, to use Kathy's terms. So in spite of the appearances, we are all walking together. We are all walking with one another, no matter what it looks like. So there's no reason to resist any appearance. There's no reason to resist someone who may seem ahead of us. They're there to help us. There's no reason to resist that we may seem ahead of someone else. We're there to help them. But there's just no reason to resist any of it. It's all perfectly natural. It's all a part of how we are awakening as one. So let's go to the next paragraph. This is verses 18 to 25. The ego is still within your mind, and it may seem to persist for some time. This is not to be cause for concern for you, but it is to be acknowledged, and you are to remain aware. For if you do not remain aware and alert to the ego in your mind, you may forget to question your thinking and believe you are listening to me when you are not. If you remember and remain aware of the ego in your mind, you can continuously question your thinking and seek for the reason you hold. As my servant, you will desire to hold to right reason. And so where you recognize it, you shall hold it dear. Where you do not recognize right reason, you shall choose to let your thinking go and continue to wait for the reason and guidance that comes from me. So what I hear in this paragraph is that in order to play this role of servant. And again, it is playing a role because in truth, we are it. We don't need to be the servant of it. We are it. But during this awakening process, during this evolutionary process, based on where we are and how the seed of what we are grows into the plant of what we're growing into, this serving process is a natural part of this growth. So what we really want to do is become a good servant to it. And the way we become a servant to it is by abandoning the ego, or what I'm going to call, because I think it's more correct, by abandoning our own thinking, our own reason. This needs to be done because we are not going to achieve X if we don't do it this way. All of that stuff, right? We need to abandon that. What I have found, and I've always known this to be true, but I got to tell you guys, it's different for me now. There has been a change. What I have found is that there is something, I'm going to call it an energy, but that's just picking a word. There is something that is absolutely silent and very clearly communicates in every single moment. You know, I've always heard it somewhat, but not 100% of the time. Right now, I seem to have the experience of being able to hear it 100% of the time. And hear is just a word because it's completely silent. Feel it. Be aware of it. Be aware of it is probably the best. And I know it's always been there. I was just ignoring it because I was listening to my own reasoning. I was listening to what I thought had to be achieved, how I thought things should be, or how I thought things needed to be done, or all that crap that we all have. That's what blocks this. And if we let go of our stuff, this becomes very, very clear, very clear, very simple, very obvious, very easy. It's not at all hidden. It's the easiest thing in the world, believe it or not, when we let go of ourself. That's the hard part. But when we let go of ourself, feeling this, tuning into this, and doing what this is guiding is the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. And it is, it is certain in its guidance. It has no wavering. You're like the thinking mind can, well, maybe this, maybe that, you know, I'm not sure because it's thinking about all these other things. This is certain. It has no wavering in it. It's certain. And that is what is called right reason. For the human, when you are following right reason, the experience is that you don't have a reason. At least that's the way I experience it. It's just, this is just what I feel. Like that's it. You know, sometimes I can look a little deeper into it and say, you know, maybe this is it. But even then, I actually start feeling like I'm making up stuff. And it's funny because other humans don't accept that very well. This is just what I feel. And so then we just have to kind of feel how to be with those who don't understand. And guess what? It guides in that too. It never abandons us. It never leaves us without a knowing, a present moment knowing of what to say, what to do, how to be, how to think, all that stuff that you can read about in the teachings of Inner Ramana. In the teachings of Inner Ramana, we're practicing getting in touch with this by asking those questions. But once we let go of this, you know, me, all that stuff that makes up me, this is just the most obvious thing in the world, this movement, this how to be, what to know, what to think, what to do, now-ness, whatever that is. It's so easy to feel and follow. So if I have a million reasons for why I want to do something, well, it's because of this, and so-and-so will feel that, and, you know, such-and-such will happen here, and you're like, there's these 20,000 reasons why I'm making this decision. That's actually the mind. That's actually the self. That's actually wrong reason. And so what this is asking us to do, and you know, we could probably spend a long time practicing just this one paragraph. But what this is asking us to do is to abandon that way of thinking and just find this movement and just be with it. Forget all about me. You have to forget all about me to be with this. And so I guess we're going to learn how to do that. I'm thinking that you guys are committed to that. So I guess we're going to learn how to do that. Let me read this last paragraph. We only have 3 minutes left here. Your self, meaning the small self, your self is to be given to me now, that any self that is not your truth may be left behind. Choose not to cling to yourself as you perceive yourself to be. Choose instead to lay yourself aside and to become like an empty shell. That which is emptied shall be filled by me. The one who is filled by me shall know his own fullness. And I would say that me, that was a capital M me, that me is what I'm calling this, this always knowing what to say, what to do, how to be, right? This. That would be this me. You know, which NTI and A Course in Miracles calls the Holy Spirit. That would be this. In order to be filled by me, in order to be totally aware of that movement energy all of the time, what we have to do is let go of this ourself. Again, everything that I think is true, how I think things should be, what I need done in order to feel safe, we gotta let go of all of that. When that's gone, this is easy. And in the in-between place where that's not completely gone, because there's going to be quite a bit of this in-between place where that's not completely gone, in any instant that we let it go, we can realize our guidance. I'll call it our guidance. If I let go of me now, me may be coming back, you know, in a little bit. But right now, while it's gone, I know the guidance. So what we will experience in the interim is what I'm going to call a flickering in and out. When me is in the lead, when me is in control, I'm not laying me down, I'm believing me, I need this way, blah, 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 I will not be aware of my guidance. When I realize I'm working too hard, it feels hard, I feel like I'm beating my head against the wall, and I surrender and I let go of me, then the guidance, I will be aware of it. And the guidance has always been there. It's always been there. It's just I can't know it when I'm full of me. So this is the journey we're going on now. Doesn't it sound fun? So if you really, really, really want to go on this journey with me in a very genuine way, what I would recommend that you do between now and next week is spend some time with NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 1 yourself. Hearing it once isn't going to be enough. The ego is going to cover it up. That's what the ego does. You know, read it 3-4 times slowly. You know, find some time when you can sit down for half an hour and just read it in a contemplative way. You know, sit with a sentence for a bit. Let it sink in. Try and do that 3 or 4 times before next week. And then next week, we'll go into chapter 2. All right? Okay, thank you. I enjoyed this new guiding light with y'all. Bye.